Let me read to you a few prayers that are in the scriptures. I wonder if these prayers resonate with you. You think of these things, if these are special to you, maybe some of these passages that I'm going to read here. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvellous things planned long ago. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is one of these passages a prayer that you have cherished perhaps over the years? Is it a prayer perhaps that comes back to mind because of a circumstance that happened to you? Is one of them a prayer that has a particular special meaning to you? These are prayers of David from the Psalms. There's a prayer there from Isaiah, and there's a prayer from Paul's letters. But there are so many others that are recorded in the scriptures that I could have read out. Moses, Jeremiah, Peter, and of course Jesus' prayers himself are recorded for us in the scriptures. The Bible doesn't have a clear statement or definition as to what prayer is, but the prayers contained in the books in both the Old and the New Testament, I think, help us understand the nature and purpose of prayer. And I think all of them bring us to the point where we understand prayer to be just a wonderful gift given to us by God, his human creation, a gift so precious and yet perhaps not understood well, not used enough. Something that we all struggle with, I'm sure. Prayer is probably the most personal, intimate and important activity that we are encouraged to participate in as believers. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, he tells his readers to pray continually. What does that mean to you when you read passages like that? How do you pray continually? What does that mean in your life every week? How do you pray continually? Luke records in chapter 18 of his gospel a parable Jesus told for the purpose of convincing his disciples to be persistent in their praying. What does that mean? What does being persistent in praying? Does it mean praying for the same thing over and over? Praying at the same time? But what does that mean? Persistence in your praying. And of course in Acts 2, the early church devote themselves to three things. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. How does that look in our life, being devoted to prayer? How does that look in my life? These are the questions we kind of have to ask ourselves when we think about what prayer is, what's its purpose, how part does it play in our life every week. How we devote ourselves to prayer is each individual story. My memory of praying goes back to my childhood. I think I might have mentioned even last week. I remember going to bed. Mum or Dad would come up and tuck us in. I shared a room with my younger brother for most of my younger years. They would sing us a nursery rhyme or a rhyme or something like that, and then we had to say our prayers, and those prayers always ended with the Lord's Prayer that we, my brother and I, used to say together. As we grew older, they stopped the nursery rhyme and they stopped praying with us, and I look back now, and that's when my praying stopped, when they stopped doing those things with me. I remember praying at Sunday school. I remember going to Sunday school, and we used to pray in Sunday school. We prayed for people who were sick. We prayed for missionaries. I didn't even know what a missionary was, but we prayed for these people. And then, of course, when we stopped going to Sunday school, we went to church. Even when we were young, we went to church, and people prayed. And the people who prayed were mostly those guys, older men dressed in a suit, and they stood up out the front, and they prayed in deep voices. They seemed to pray forever, and they used words that I had never even heard of. And that was what prayer was. Thank goodness for youth group. We went to youth group, and it was a revelation. Prayer was much freer. Prayer was not the formal sort of things that I'd been used to. And we used to sit around in circles and things like that, and go around and pray in circles. It was so exciting in fact, that when it was my turn, I would just pass and let the next person pray. I knew it was important. I knew that prayer was important. But I didn't know how important it was and how to be a part of that until much later on. But that's because I didn't really know what prayer was, and I didn't really understand the nature and character of prayer and why it was such an important gift. Prayer always seemed like a long list of things we wanted God to know or God to do. It always seemed like that. We came with this list, and while we acknowledged who God was, it seemed like we were only acknowledging him because he was the only one who could do these things for us. People were just bringing this list of things to him that they wanted him to do. And when things didn't happen, I wasn't encouraged to reconsider what the nature and purpose of prayer was. I was encouraged to think about my lack of faith. That's why these things weren't happening. I didn't ask humbly enough. I didn't ask in the right way. I didn't ask with the right heart. So I had to go back and look at those things rather than look at what was the purpose of praying in the first place. Were these things a part of God's will? What did that mean? I got told that a lot of times. What was God's will? That was very difficult for a teenager to really understand. I felt like I was failing in my prayers. It only took about 20 years before I learned that that shopping list approach to prayer was not the main purpose or the main focus of prayer. Prayer can often seem like the thing to do when you don't want to do something. Do you know what I mean there? We often met together and prayed, and then if you prayed about something, well, you didn't actually have to go and do it. You prayed about it. Now, later on, I'll talk about how prayer is the work of God. It is. But it's not an excuse to stop doing things or not to do things. While prayer is working hard, it is not a replacement for the activity that you're actually going to pray for. In fact, in Paul, in his letters that he writes to the churches, he often prays that they will be able to. Able to what? Well, for the Philippian church, amongst other things, it was to be able to discern what is best, to be pure and blameless, to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus. For the Colossians, they were to be able to be filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And he continued to the Colossians in Colossians 1:10-14. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If someone had explained to me years ago that that was the purpose of praying, to bring me into a knowledge of God, to bring me into a deeper understanding of who He is and His purposes, I think I would have had a better understanding of what prayer was. I think I would have had a better grounding in prayers for my life during those years when I did struggle as a teenager, as a younger person. I'm sure that would have been the case. Live worthy of God. Grow in knowledge of God. Bear fruit in good works. Have great endurance. Joyfully give thanks. Why do these things happen? Because devoting yourself to prayer is opening yourself up to God and allowing Him to build that relationship. And building that relationship, that friendship, even in Jesus' prayer in John 17, it seems to me that is the whole purpose and focus of what prayer is and what it's about. He prays that we would be one with Him as He is with the Father. Now we often read that, read John 17 so many times. Just take that on board for a moment. If that is your purpose in coming to God in prayer, that you will know Him in a way that makes that bond between you and Him deeper, stronger, how is that going to influence what you pray, when you pray, how you pray? I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. Prayer can often seem like a mechanical sort of exercise, a ritual we would call it. I sit in on a scripture class at school every Thursday, and it's a year 4 scripture group, and the scripture teacher starts scripture every Thursday with the Lord's Prayer. And in the first few weeks, the kids would pray along with her. But as the weeks have gone by, I've noticed that the kids have started to pray quicker. They want to get that prayer over and done with. They want to get that finished. Now, I don't know if it's because she does hand out rewards at the end of the lesson, lollies and things like that. That's a long way down the lesson. But to her credit, she has pulled the kids back. And she makes them pray along with her at a steadier rate. But it is just one of those rituals that they do in that scripture class. And while I know these are just kids, it does illustrate that people often think that prayer is a ritual that has to be done. It's something that I have to do. Something almost endured. Sometimes even performed. It seems a bit like that. Yesterday Michelle and I did go to a Anzac Day service, and there were a lot of prayers that were read out at the service. Some of them did seem like they were a performance that had to be done. It was a script that had to be read out. John Calvin said that praying is nothing else than opening up your heart to God. You can't do that in a ritualistic, performed sort of way. That's got to be something that comes from your heart if you're going to be like that. Paul's letters to the early church display that emotion that only comes from knowing who you are and why you are praying to your God. Those kids who recite the Lord's Prayer in that scripture class, little boy like me who said his prayers every night with his parents, I'm sure those things are good foundations to be built on. I'm sure they are. I'm glad that my parents did those things with me. I'm glad that that scripture teacher does start her lesson every week with that prayer. And I hope and pray that those kids go on to learn more of what that prayer is about. But it's just a foundation. It's got to be built on. And I'm hoping that that's what's happening with us as we progress in our journey of faith individually and together as the church here. I'm hoping that even your foundations that you look back on as in your early years in prayer have been built on and developed as you understand more and more what praying is all about. Praying is not the domain of an elite group of people who have a special gift or hold a particular office in the church or can organise their thoughts or can use wonderfully expressive words. it is not that. We are really blessed in this church to have people who do have the gift to be able to write out prayers and then to be able to stand here and pray for us. It's a wonderful blessing that we have those people who are willing to do that. It's not everybody's gift. It's not everybody can stand here and do those things. But it is not the domain of just one group of people who do that. We are all called to pray. We are all called to learn to do that in our life as we follow Jesus. I'm sure each of those people who serve us in that way would be the first to say that they have a joy and the privilege of praying that way. We all have the joy and the privilege of praying, each of us, in our life. The writer to the Hebrews wrote in chapter 10, verses 19 to 22, "Therefore, brothers, since we," that's all of us, "have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open to us," that's all of us, "through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us," all of us, "draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." The activity of praying is our taking advantage of this tremendous privilege that has been opened to us through God's grace in providing his Son to allow us to draw near to him. Isn't that what prayer is about? Isn't it about us drawing near to God and allowing him to listen to us, to bring to him the things that are important to us, to bring to him the things that are on our hearts? And what a privilege that we have to be able to do that without having to go through anybody else, without having to go through any other way. We can do that ourselves. To be drawn near to God through our prayers is so helpful in allowing us to understand again what is the purpose of coming to him. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the apostle writes that Jesus died for sin once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. He goes on to say why he did that. He says he did that to bring you to God. To bring you to God. Now, that's not a one-off time when you accepted Christ as your Saviour, and if you did, that's a wonderful experience. But that's a thing that we can do every single day. We can come back to God every single day. How do you do that? You get up and you pray to him. Every day. Every day. And that access, that bringing you to God, that allows you to draw near to him all the time. Not even just once a day. Every moment you're reminded of him, you're drawn back to him. It allows God to reveal more of his grace to each of us as our praying is a means for his grace to come into our life. God so obviously delights in his children coming to him in prayer. Jesus teaches us to seek, to knock, to ask, so that the riches of God's grace may become ours. And Paul's prayers for the churches are overflowing with prayers like the one in Ephesians 3 when he says he prays for them so that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And he prays that being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so as we draw near to him, as we deepen that relationship, this is what Paul says it's about. You will understand more about his love. Now, how does that work out in your life? How does that reveal itself to you? That's each individual person's journey, of course, but I can't believe that praying is not an integral part of how God allows his love to be expressed to each one of us. We need that power of the Holy Spirit to even grasp an understanding of his love, to even understand slightly. Paul says it's beyond our knowledge, it surpasses our knowledge. We need his Spirit to reveal to us that knowledge, that special knowledge of how deep and wide his love is for each of us. And so our praying is how God allows that to happen. We need that superhuman Spirit filled with God's knowledge of himself to be poured out to us, to provide us with that love, so we can appreciate even more what important role prayer plays in allowing that to happen. What a thing to pray for each other, that becomes the normal for us, that becomes what we are about. What a thing to consider praying for each other that way, in our prayers every day for each other. Even Jesus considered prayer so important, he spent many hours in quiet places, at times when he wouldn't be disturbed, praying to his Father in heaven. In John 5:19, he emphasised this dependence when he says, "The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing." His relationship with the Father relied on prayer while he was here on earth, while he took on that human form and he took on all those limitations that we have. He relied on prayer to stay in contact with his Father. So if the purpose of prayer is to strengthen and build up our relationship with God, our Father, even passages like the one where Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask," stops being confusing. And that was a confusing passage for me when I was younger. But if we understand that that's the purpose of prayer, that sort of passage stops being confusing, and it becomes an encouragement to pray, because it reveals that God doesn't want us to convince him that he cares for us. He doesn't want us to have to come to him and tell him something new. He knows all these things. And so praying is an encouragement, because he already knows what we need and he wants to provide that care and love in ways that we can't even begin to imagine that he wants to do. What does that do to the way that we will approach our prayers? In the scriptures, prayer is clearly linked to faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's our understanding of God, his nature and character, that most deeply affect how we pray. I'm sure it is. And it is the characteristic of faith to focus not on our faith, but on the object of our faith, that is God. The prayer of faith then rests on the glorious character of God and not on our own efforts to try and believe more, or to make ourselves somehow better to God so he can work his miracles. That's not what our faith is about. The prayer of faith reaches out to that glorious character so that God will be glorified in fulfilling his desire to reward the prayer of faith in revealing himself to us as we pray. The prayer of faith does not reach out to God's promises, but it reaches out with the knowledge that God's promises are his, not ours, to manipulate as we want. I think this will emphasize how important it is that our prayers are lined up with what the scriptures say and teach, and that they, and what they reveal about what God is like. God's will and his promises are not something for us to grasp and to change and to mould just to suit ourselves. We have to accept God for who he is, everything about him, not just the things that we like or the things that we want. It's often here that people become discouraged in praying, because their prayer was not so much from the heart filled with a knowledge of God's will and his ways and his character, but on a limited understanding of the nature and purpose of prayer. My prayers weren't answered. I didn't get what I wanted. They become discouraged. Why were you praying in the first place? To bring glory to him, or to seek him to do what you want. I think it's impossible to separate your prayer life from the rest of everything that happens in your life. Praying becomes as much a part of you as breathing, eating, reading the scriptures. It's all connected. I think it is why Jesus' pattern of praying that we call the Lord's prayer appears where it does in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. If you look at where it sits in that whole sermon that Jesus delivers, he's teaching his followers how to live, things that they need to do right in the middle of it all. He gives them instructions on this pattern for praying. And it's also a pattern for living. You can't make the Lord's Prayer a pattern for your prayers if you're not going to make it a pattern for your life. So if you have to ask yourself, do you really want the hallowing of God's name, the extension of his kingdom, his rule and his will, do you really want those things more than anything else in your life? Even more than our daily bread? Are these really the priorities by which we live? But let's remember that if that is our desire, if that is the joy of our heart, to be that person who makes those things our priority, then we have the entire Godhead on our side. Our Father who assures us of his sovereign power from his throne, our brother and friend Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession on our behalf. We have God's own Holy Spirit who indwells each one of us, speaking on our behalf before the Father. We have all of these things on our side when we consider living those things out every day in our life. Paul tells us that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot express half of what we even think of. What a Spirit, what a God. And we have a God who searches our heart, and he knows what we're thinking, and he knows who we are, and he knows our needs. He knows we need our daily bread. He knows we need these things. But beyond that, he knows we need him more than anything. And to have our brother Jesus and to have his Spirit interceding on our behalf, making that known, that is a great encouragement as we consider how our prayers are such an important part of our life. Let me pray now as we finish up this morning. Just take a few moments to consider your own situation, how you pray, when you pray. Why do you pray? There are days, I know, when I wake up and to sit and to pray, it does seem like a chore almost. Even now, struggle with that. I hope that these thoughts help you when that happens. Just take a few moments to consider what you're doing and why you're doing it.